The group started 10 years ago. I was writing songs. I had quite a collection of songs, and I was desperate to get a group together. And the thing that sparked off this actual group coming together was that I was offered to make a record, an LP record, by a local college, which sponsored an act, sponsored a band every year as a guinea pig for their music business course. And somehow they got hold of a demonstration tape of mine, decided that my songs were what they wanted to go for, and somehow that seemed to be the spark for me to get a group of musicians together because I had this project going.
Nothing like a little deadline or a project to help actually make something come to fruition.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
I was wondering actually, because some people start bands and they never wrote a song in their life, and in your case, you were bursting at the seams with songs. How do you write your songs? Is there an instrument you sit in front of, or do you write words on paper? How does your song writing go? Or at least back then, how did your songwriting go?
Yes, it has changed over the years. If I cast my mind back when I was more of a fledgling songwriter before I knew what my so-called palette was, I would move quite quickly to the guitar or the piano, but the main thing was that I would feel a spark of inspiration sort of rise up inside, and then I would quickly jot down an idea of a melody or a lyrical concern. And the lyrics to me were always the most important thing. They, especially at the start, they were the thing that drove the whole thing forward. It was almost like a melody was just something that dressed up the lyrics.
Some people find that they get captured or even somewhat imprisoned by style, and so that they have a they like rockabilly a lot, and they'll just write words that mean something to them, but because they like rockabilly, they'll start writing their songs, whatever the heck they are, to rockabilly beats. Did your songs and what you were writing word-wise, I should say, your lyrics, did they make the kind of music that you do? What was the influence of the lyrics to the sort of tunes that you'd come up with? What's that relationship?
I do feel that they could have been done in any context, really. You to take a pure melody and take lyrics and you can apply it to any style, which was a nice blank canvas at the start. I think in terms of style, musical style, there were certain things that I liked. I liked the idea that you could get a small collective together that would almost represent the things I liked about pop music and the things I also liked about the orchestra. So that a cellist would be as important as a guitar player in the group, and a violin player would be as important as a drummer. And this is what we quickly did. We had a small baroque section, if you like, including, piano, trumpet, violin and cello, along with the usual instruments. So that was the palette that we were working with from the start.
You knew that's who you wanted to reach to, or those were the buddies you had handy? I mean, which is was that what was around you? You knew cellists, you knew someone. Which came first?
Yeah, well, this is something that I've been looking for quite some time, and it seemed to be this project with the college that sparked somehow that these people came out of the woodwork. That's the only way I can describe it, because it was 3 years. It was 2 or 3 years when I was putting up adverts for looking for musicians, and people really got to the extent where they crossed the street when they saw me coming, because people were in bands and they knew that I was writing songs and looking for musicians. But I think they thought I was a little bit too keen. They were suspicious of what my motives were, and they crossed the street. And so I was qu it was quite a happy thing that eventually the group of musicians that I did eventually get together were outsiders. They were outsiders from this musical scene in Glasgow. They came from all different walks of life. I didn't know what their tastes were. I didn't know what they were into. All I knew is that Isabel knew what a cello looked like,
Isabel Campbell.
Isabel Campbell, that Chris, the piano player, had some form of keyboard knowledge, and we went from there.
How did you present the songs to this group of people? Maybe even describe the space. Did you have a practice space? Was it somebody's kitchen? How did that work?
There was a variety of different places. If I think right back at the start, it was when I was trying to get the Tiger Milk, what became the Tiger Milk record together, we would take any opportunity. I would really tutor each individual musician because I had a fixed idea of what I wanted them to play. So in my mind, it runs from a pub on a Saturday afternoon. This is where there was an open mic session. That was where I met Stevie. And so
Stevie is
the singer guitarist, Stevie Jackson. And so I would see Stevie in there comparing this open mic, and I realized his skills as a musician and a singer, and he became aware of my songwriting from going up there. So that was how I met Stevie, and that was where we sort of hung out. But I can remember going up to the college that Isabel was enrolled in. She was doing a sort of a applied music course at college, and we'd steal in after the class had disappeared, and I would show her some parts, and I would show her a couple of the songs. Another place we used to go was a local library where they had booths where they would have piano soundproof booths, and sometimes I would meet the musicians in there, individual musicians.
Do you remember the first time that you all got into a room and started actually playing some of these tunes?
I remember the first so-called gig, which was a party in the bass player's house in Stuart David's house, and that was the first night that I remember Isabel meeting Stevie, which seemed to be kind of like two worlds colliding.
How so?
Because there was a core sort of group of musicians, myself, Richard, Stuart, the bass player, and Stevie, that had maybe gotten together only about 5 weeks beforehand, but already we'd had some sort of rapport, and we'd been in a kind of rehearsal room together. And then it seemed like the outer elements of the group at that time, Isabel, somebody who I'd met at a party, Chris, somebody who I'd just seen around, that's Chris Geddes, the piano player, and Mick Cook, somebody again who I'd seen around with the trumpet. These two worlds hadn't collided, so they sort of collided this one night in January 1996.
Did it sound anything like you had imagined when you were writing these tunes and thinking about how they could be? And when you said you showed Isabella a part, do you write your music down on paper?
There was a small element of that, I think. The parts were really quite simple, but it was easy enough to you know, play them out on the piano, and there was some music written down.
Did the songs come out the way you might have imagined when you first started thinking about the sound of these songs?
Yes, there was hints of that. Now I mustn't underestimate the input of the musicians here, because really, it was almost like keep the drums as simple as possible, sympathetic as possible to the acoustic guitar and the songwriting, and keep the bass. Stuart wasn't a bass player, so he kept things very simple.
What was he?
He was a songwriter, and also he was writing books. He'd written two novels by this time, but he was happy to help me out. Now, the thing that came in early was, at an early stage, was Stevie Jackson's guitar. That was the first major stylistic thing that I couldn't really... I knew I wanted to meet a guitarist, but I couldn't imagine sort of what kind. And the sound that he had was quite unexpected. And this became, you know, quite a separate colour. But this was nice. He was like the wild card at that point, because I knew what a violin sounded like, and I knew what I wanted it to do, and I knew what a keyboard sounded like, etc. But the guitarist, that was a big bright color that I had no real notion of.
I'd almost think that the cello would be harder to figure and imagine, especially because you say you play guitar. What is it about Stevie's guitar playing that felt different to you, that added a color that you hadn't imagined?
Well, the thing about a guitar as opposed to a cello mostly plays single lines, and a violin plays single lines, and a trumpet can play a single melody, but a guitar can play whole texture. You can He can, he just wipes his big hands across the guitar strings. I don't really know what happens. Then it goes through an amplifier and this shimmering sound comes out, and it's quite a large thing. So I couldn't really account for that.
I'm thinking about the beginning, the early band, the New Pornographers and your band seem to have these people that come and go. I'm thinking about how when somebody leaves and somebody new comes in, how it changes things. I'll think of Isabel for one. You can mention other people. How that changes either how you start to think about writing songs, because now you have an ensemble of people, you know what they're capable of. You bring someone new in, mm-hmm. what that does. And take Isabel, for example, when she left and who replaced her. What did that do? How did that change?
Yes, well, I'll talk about Isabel, but I really can't ignore sort of Stuart David leaving and Bob coming in. There's really only been one lineup change in the group, because we do nurture this sort of steady collective thing, and this can't be underestimated. The only change that happened was that halfway through the life of the group, 5 years in, Stuart and Isabel left pretty much at the same time to all extents. So that means we lost a bass guitar player, and Bob Kilday came in to play bass. Now, when Isabel left, we didn't replace her. We have a girl called Sarah who plays with us, pretty much replicates the part that Isabel used to play, but the cello features less and has featured less in the last couple of years. So the basic change was, it was more psychological than anything else. Suddenly, instead of having a group of eight people where two people were sort of uninterested and a bit disgruntled and really didn't want to get down to the nuts and bolts of making music with us, instead of having this, you had seven people who were really focused and into what they were doing, and that was the big change.
And the record that came out of that was what?
Well, eventually it led up to Dear Kadashi Waitress, and then this record, The Life Pursuit. The Life Pursuit, which is quite definitely the strongest, most focused effort by the collective of seven people, and the one that we're happiest with.
And how, in thinking about how the how you start to think about and writing, is it that much different, or was it just psychological? Now you knew you had a stronger lineup, or did you actually start to think about writing different songs because you had a different group of people that might pull something off that was different?
Yes, I think, although obviously it was pretty much the same group of people, the confidence rose once we all were happy with what we were doing. And my confidence as a songwriter, I think, rose again after taking a bit of a battering. It rose again in the sense that you had complete confidence in the musicians that were around you, so that not anymore did you wander around and compose things just on an acoustic guitar or a piano in isolation. Whenever you heard a new song come along, it was complete. In your head, you could hear the band playing it. And there was a reciprocal arrangement where in that the group could come to you with sort of a feel for something or an idea or a sketch for and very quickly you would start to assemble words and melody. So it was a matter of really trusting everybody in the group.
In 2 weeks, Ray Davies is coming to the 9:30 Club. Ray Davies is one of two brothers who started a group called the Kinks 40 years ago, and so I've been listening a lot to his stuff again. And I don't know if you've heard he's got a new solo album that's just come out, and it's quite amazing. And I've listened to your record and his record sort of a bunch at the same time, and I feel these sort of sense of similarities. Would it be crazy to think that what Ray does in his songwriting and storytelling and finding characters and embellishing on their lives is so different than the way you write songs? You're familiar enough with his work, I'd imagine.
Well, I couldn't think it's too far apart. There will be a qualitative sort of notion from the outsider's point of view, but we're in the same ballpark. We're playing the same game.
Yeah. He's been doing it for 40 years. Can you imagine doing all of this, writing songs and thinking up new songs and being on the road or however? Could you imagine doing this? I don't know how old you are, but you do the math.
I can't actually. I can't imagine doing it, plowing such a similar furrow. I can't imagine that I would have this continuous sort of ability to do that. I'd probably have to move on and try different things.
What might both those different things be? What are your other interests?
Yes, well, I think applying what little talent you have to different art forms, turning your mind to visual art forms, or maybe trying to collaborate with people on a film, or you know, film music, or writing music for choirs, or writing music, you know, for church music, which interests me as well. Just maybe taking what talent you have and applying it somewhere else.
Are there any visual elements in the show tonight? The people who will hear this on the web won't see the show. They'll hear you. Is there anything that they'll miss from a visual standpoint?
When it comes to live stuff, I must admit I have no input into the visual aspect whatsoever. I leave it to the rest of the band or the production manager and the lighting technician, obviously. When I say visual elements, where I'm most involved in visual elements of the group is that I do the record sleeves for the group, and obviously I have an input into the films, the videos that the group produces.
So it's mostly, you'd say, lights and so forth tonight, no big slides or movies or films behind you? Or?
The thing is, Lucas, our lighting man, has just started entering into the world of projections and things, but I'm always facing the wrong way, so I don't know what's going on behind my back.
Tell me the lineup of the group tonight. Who plays what, and do people swap off? And so when we hear different textures and stuff, tell me.
Yes. Well, in fact, if we play a song called White Collar Boy tonight, which is, I'm just composing the set list just now, I will actually introduce the group as we go along. And Richard Coburn plays the drums, so he sticks to that. Bob Kilday is officially the bass player, but he plays quite a lot of electric guitar as well. That's his first instrument, in fact. When Bob's not playing bass, Mick Cook plays the bass, but his principal instrument is the trumpet. Stevie Jackson's the central guitarist, electric guitarist, and also Stevie sings backing on a lot of tracks, and he sings lead vocal on a number of tracks as well. Sarah Martin sings as well. She's the female vocal you will hear tonight is Sarah Martin, but her principal instrument is the violin. And Chris Gedd is everything keyboards. Now, everybody has a hand in the keyboard playing, you know, little parts, but he's anything, the organ and most of the piano is all Chris. We'll be joined on stage by Sarah Wilson, who's playing cello tonight, and she has been for a couple of years now, actually, live with us. I think that's everybody.
Yep.
And myself, I'm Stuart Murdoch. I handle most of the singing, and I play the rhythm guitar poorly.
Great. Well, I look forward to tonight. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.